Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is God's word. All who are under the yoke as slaves should regard their own masters as worthy of all respect, so that God's name and his teaching will not be blasphemed. Let those who have believing masters not be disrespectful to them because they are brothers, but serve them even better, since those who benefit from their service are believers and dearly loved. Teach and encourage these things. If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree with the sound teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the teaching that promotes godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but has an unhealthy interest in disputes and arguments over words. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreement among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way to material gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life, to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all, and of Christ Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. Instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding irreverent and empty speech and contradictions from what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some people have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you were to summarize, there are a whole bunch of different things that Paul talks about in this chapter. And this chapter, as we've said before, is just a portion of what was intended to be read as a letter. Okay? We treat the epistles as if they're books. They're referred to as books of the Bible. But this is a letter. Okay? And so whenever you're going through the various epistles, we encourage you, read the whole thing. Okay? Now, we'll study it piece by piece, but you need to get what we're studying piece by piece in the larger context. So read the whole thing. Now, he begins by talking to slaves. I think we just need to see what he says here, and that is, it's time to abolish slavery. It's not what he says. Instead, he tells slaves that they ought to be really good slaves. Now, for some of us today in this culture, grateful for the fact that slavery was abolished in our country as something that is now illegal. We still have slaves in this country, but it's not legal anymore. It no longer has the government protecting the institution of slavery, though some would argue that the government is actually the largest slaveholder in the country because it has perpetuated a situation where people are totally dependent on the government. But that's another story. For those of us who live in this culture where supposedly slavery is banned, despite the fact that there are more slaves in the world than ever before, we look at this and we're a little put off by the fact that Paul's telling slaves to be good slaves. That just seems oppressive. But I want you to notice, this is not the only thing Scripture says about slavery, but I want you to notice what he says here about why you ought to be a good slave. It is so that the name of God and his teaching will not be blasphemed. That's the point. That's the purpose. Look at it. All who are under the yoke as slaves should regard their own masters as worthy of all respect so that God's name and his teaching will not be blasphemed. If you miss the words so that, you miss the point of what Paul's saying. He's saying that what is much more important than your position in the economy or in society or in the hierarchy of human beings, what is much more important is how your life affects people's view of God's word. Now that doesn't just apply to slaves, does it? That applies to all of us. My concern should not be how I'm being treated so much as it is how God's name is regarded in light of my response to how I'm being treated. Your focus, your goal is to honor the Lord. You want people to think well of him. And therefore, as Paul says again to the Corinthians, why not rather be wronged? You know, but this person took advantage of me. Yep. You know who will take care of them? God. He will. Well, does that mean you never stand up for your rights? The Apostle Paul, again, is a great example. You read in the book of Acts where on occasion he exerted his rights as a citizen of Rome. He knew how and when to do it. And if you look at how and when he did it, it was always about the advance of the gospel. You and I need to take a lesson from what Paul says to the slaves. And that is, your behavior should be such that it will not cause scandal. It will not cause people to blaspheme the Lord, to think poorly of Christians because of your rotten attitude.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand.
So, if you're a Christian, you should be living in such a way that it brings honor to the Lord. Verse 2, let those who have believing masters, see, some people are going to read verse 1 and they're going to say, well, I don't have to worry about that. My master's a Christian. See? So if my master's a Christian, then, you know, he wouldn't blaspheme the Lord or his teaching, so I can pretty much act the way I want to act. No, no, no. If your master's a Christian, you ought to be all the more conscientious to do a good job because you're working for someone who is a brother and therefore dearly loved. Dearly loved? Have you met my master? I thought you said he was a Christian. Well, yeah, he's got a little ichthus thing on the back of his chariot. But, you know, I don't really enjoy working for him. Well, does he enjoy having you work for him? Well, he doesn't act like it. Well, why don't you see if you can change that? Because he is dearly loved if he's your brother in Christ. And so if your master is a believer, you can't at that point say, now we don't have to worry. No, no, no. That should motivate you to do what you do as unto the Lord. So basically you're saying either way, I really have to work hard and have a good attitude. Yes. And it's not just slaves. It's all of us. That's the way we're supposed to live. Christians ought to have a reputation in the community as being the people you can trust. So, teach and encourage these things. If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree with the sound teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the teaching that promotes godliness, notice what God's teaching promotes. Godliness. In other words, you don't just believe certain things, you live differently. Teaching that promotes godliness. If anybody doesn't agree with sound teaching, he's conceited. This is one of Paul's famous one run-on sentences. He is conceited and understands nothing but has an unhealthy interest in disputes and arguments over words. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreement among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way to material gain. Paul, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, out of the overflow of the heart, just kind of rants here, okay? On the one hand, he describes in very harsh terms those who oppose the truth. Let me tell you, there are people who are really upset by the truth. They don't like to hear the truth. They don't like other people to hear the truth. Try and get YouTube to play Prager University videos, okay? YouTube, which wants everybody everywhere to have free access to information, except that viewpoint right there. That's a problem in our culture. But it's not new. Some people are so hostile toward the truth that they just can't get past it. It's all they can think about. They obsess over it. They're focused on, we got to shut that person up. Let me tell you something. The truth wins. I mean, it does. Think of all the enemies of God who've tried to obliterate the scriptures throughout the centuries. And God's word is still the number one bestseller of all time. So, those who don't agree with the sound teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, they're just conceited and they understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in disputes and arguments over words, and out of that comes envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreements among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth. Well, I think we can write those people off. Until you read this next phrase. When you read this next phrase, all of a sudden it's like, huh? The next phrase says, who imagine that godliness is a way to material gain. I've actually been to a seminar by a famous conservative Christian in which one of the main points of the seminar was that even if you're not a Christian, you still ought to live this way because it gives you a much better life. But if you read the whole truth, if you read God's word cover to cover, you realize that Jesus said in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Don't be afraid, I've already overcome the world. You want to read about somebody that God was really impressed with? God thought, now that's a guy who's living right. Read the book of Job. Okay? Because that's what God said about him. God said, have you seen my servant Job? Nobody else like him. He's really living right. Satan said, well, I bet that'll change if you'll let me at him. You've been protecting him. Let me at him. God said, okay. What? If God was pleased with the way he lived, why would the Lord let Satan afflict Job? That's what the whole book of Job is about. And you know what the conclusion is. When you get to the answer, who are you, oh man? You think you know what's going on? Humble yourself. You weren't even here when I created this place. Now I'm telling you, if you read the whole book, you're not going to come to the conclusion that godliness is a way to get rich. Okay? But I know people who think it is. And they try and present it as if it were. And that's one of the evil outcomes of people who know nothing according to the Word of God. So be careful. But then look at the next phrase. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. If you have money, that's just a sign that you're a sinful, unspiritual person. Isn't that what he just said? No, that's not what he said at all. It's not how much money you have, it's how much money means to you. If you crave money, if you're searching for wealth, if your goal is to get rich, you're on the wrong road. So the Apostle Paul tells us that those who think that godliness is a way to material gain are totally on the wrong road. But godliness with contentment is great gain. If we have, boy, is this hard to say. Verse 8, if we have food and clothing, I would want to just add a few more things to that, right? I mean, if we have good food that's enjoyable and nourishing and clothing for various seasons, and a reasonably comfortable shelter in which to live, and dependable transportation, and an entertainment budget, then we'll be content with these things. That's not what he says. He says, if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with these. Wow. Wow. But those who want to be rich... He doesn't say it's wrong to be rich. He says it's wrong to want to be rich. If your goal is material wealth, you're chasing the wrong thing. You're hooked on a drug that's going to kill you. And he says, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I've seen it happen. It's tragic. But you, man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you've made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Jump down to verse 17. Instruct those who are rich. See, you can be a believer and be rich, and that's okay. Wanting to be rich, bad mistake. Being rich, thank the Lord. Instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Did you hear what he said? Who richly provides us with all things that are necessary for basic survival. No, he says he gives us all kinds of stuff to enjoy. God actually gives us things wanting us to enjoy them. There's a mindset that you're not really supposed to have much pleasure in this life. If you start to enjoy things too much, you're probably not living for God. That's not what this says. God gives us things to enjoy. God could have made the whole world black and white or just as it is and given us only the capacity to see black and white. God could have made it so that everything tastes the same. Wouldn't that be fun? This says that God gives us things to enjoy. You know what you ought to do if God gives you stuff to enjoy? Enjoy it. Thank him. Don't set your hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works. How are you doing on that score? To be generous and willing to share, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the coming age. He's not talking about retirement. He's talking about after you die, what's going to be in heaven waiting for you? What have you sent on ahead by giving to the poor? Do this. They should be doing this so that they may take hold of what is truly life. There are all kinds of people around us all the time trying to tell us, do this, choose that, go for this, go for that. The only thing that matters is eternity. The rest of it is all temporary. Whatever you get hold of. Imagine if after the Titanic hit the iceberg, someone had offered you their first class cabin. The ship's going down. You and I are all going to die. We need to be living our lives now in light of eternity. Amen. To do anything else is to fail to take hold of what is truly life. That's what he says. You're missing the real riches. So take this opportunity now to live your life, whether you're a rich person or whether you're a slave. Take this opportunity to live for him. That's what this is about. We're going to have to come back to this chapter again. I mean, there's just way too much here. I didn't get to talk about Jesus before Pontius Pilate. I just had you skip on down to the next thing about rich people and all that. There's just so much here I want to say. But let me tell you something. Every single one of us this week is going to be making decisions that will reflect whether we believe this or not. You're going to make decisions today about whether you're living for now or eternity. Yourself or Jesus and his kingdom. All of us, we're all there every day. So please, I beg you, invest your time, your money, your energies, your talents, everything you've got, invest it in the kingdom of God. Because nothing else lasts. If you set your heart on material wealth, it's all in vain. But if you thank God for what he's given you and enjoy it, that's in there. It's not like, well, okay, I know it's okay to have wealth, but I mustn't enjoy it. No, enjoy it. God wants you to enjoy it. It's great to enjoy it. Help other people enjoy it with you, okay? But folks, it all belongs to him, and what matters is the glory of his name.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.